previously on But You're Wrong.
And he's like, I wouldn't kiss you either because you're so dumb.
Yeah. It's probably the first time Richard Dawson ever said that. That's I won't kiss you because you're too dumb.
That's how dumb you are, sweetie.
You are so dumb. The Richard Dawson doesn't want to fuck you. You will learn.
Excellent. What I learned. So now I'm recording. So speaking of people that we know of that are in jail and being held on bail.
Yeah.
Expensive bail. We could talk a little bit about the North Pond Hermit again, because there have been a lot of developments.
Yes, I'm interested in what the developments are.
Now, I like how I started recording after we covered the other part, but we can't really talk about the other part yet, so...
Yeah, and that's like real crime.
Yeah, that's like serious shit. And eventually we'll probably talk about it. But we know of someone that did something quite serious and is being held on bail of a substantial amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 250 grand amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they didn't steal a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. And this isn't a person that we know personally. We just have interacted with this person.
They are at most an acquaintance.
I wouldn't even say, well, for me, no. For me, I wouldn't even say acquaintance.
An acquaintance for me. Very loose acquaintance. I mean, I've spoken with them maybe like twice, so. I know who they are.
You know of each other.
Yes.
Because if you went up to her and were like, hey, do you know Greg DiNicola? She would probably say yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, who doesn't know Greg DiNicola?
Well, I mean, just idiots.
Losers.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know where to start, because there's been a lot. Do you want to start with some victim reactions to the North Pond Hermit?
Yeah, to recap, anyone who did not hear our last episode about the North Pond Hermit, this man was living in the woods in Maine. What year did he start doing this?
86.
Okay, so the year I was born, living in the woods, not even really that far away from civilization, but enough that he wasn't really interacting with people. He would steal things from local homes and from, wasn't it like a special needs camp or something?
He was stealing from camps in the area and like summer homes that people had and stuff like that. And he was there for 27 years.
27 years this guy was out in the woods, and he had a radio and he listened to what, Rush Limbaugh?
Yep.
So he knew what was going on in the world. He just chose not to participate.
Yeah. So we found out a little bit more about him. And I'm going to be reading from a series of articles, and they're all basically local Maine newspapers. Because for some reason, this guy still hasn't become a national story, which I find fascinating. How can you tell
they're local Maine newspapers? Are they lacking teeth?
well, no.
Where's a lot of denim?
No, because they're all like Portland Press Herald and Bangor Daily News and like Augusta, you know.
It's pronounced news. Banger.
Banger?
I'm not even joking. That's how they say it.
Really?
Yeah, banger.
All right.
But continue on.
I'll take your word for it then. But yeah, if you want to go back and hear, because we did a bit, I'm told it's quite hysterical. Episode 86 is where we first talked about him. So a few episodes ago.
Convenient, because 86 was the year he disappeared. It was meant to be.
I didn't even think of that. Good pickup, sir. Good pickup.
Yep.
So let's hear about what some of his victims say. To some, Christopher T. Knight.
Is that his name?
Yeah, he's related to Michael Knight. That's his brother.
I was going to say, Christopher T. Knight. Christopher Knight. I don't know. I'd almost assume he was black.
No, he's very white, despite living outside for 27 years.
He was also in Maine, though.
That's a good point. Well, no, doesn't the sun stay out longer in the summer in Maine, though? Because it's further north?
I don't know.
Yeah, because when my brother lived in Minnesota and I would go out to visit him, it would stay kind of light until like 10:30.
Really?
In the summer. Like, it stayed light a lot later.
Huh. I don't know.
I'm saying, you know, I mean, from the pictures, though, he looks very white. But anyway.
Well, I was also going to say that I think there's like 6 black people in Maine.
Probably. He has become a folk hero.
Oh, boy.
Admired for his ingenuity and survival skills. From many others, he's a troublesome thief who made them fearful, and they're glad the suspect is behind bars. He hid in the woods, which we know, in a makeshift camp, stealing food, clothing, mattresses.
Mattresses, huh?
He stole mattresses.
How often do you think he changed mattresses?
I'm going to say probably... No, you know, I'm going to say twice. I'm going to say at least twice he changed mattresses.
But think about it. If he's outside, these mattresses are probably getting absolutely disgusting. Well, although he's probably disgusting, too, so...
Well, and he's under a tarp.
That's true.
That helps a little bit, but...
I bet he switched mattresses more often than the average American does who lives in a house.
Well, yeah, it's not like he had to buy them.
That's true. I guess if I didn't have to buy them, I'd probably switch more often, too.
It's not like he was going out for the, you know, select a number.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what would be great? If he's outside under his top and he had the, what's the one that moves? The one for the old people?
Oh, the one where it, like, reclines and stuff, where it, like, sits you up so you can watch TV in bed. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can watch Jeopardy in bed, but you're still kind of sitting up.
Well, he wasn't watching Jeopardy, but maybe he was doing that just for the hell of it.
Well, yeah, but the commercials are always on during Jeopardy.
Yeah, that's true. Batteries for his radio.
Mm-hmm.
Frying pans.
He cook on the fire there.
Beer.
Well, yeah, you gotta get drunk.
Fuck yeah. And candy.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Nancy Brooks and her family have had a campsite on Little North Pond for more than 40 years, and they suspect the hermit stole her son's old town canoe and used it to scout the shoreline, seeking evidence that people had brought in food or other items he needed. So he had, like, a whole system set up. He was in a canoe. He was spotting out people.
I was going to say, because we talked before about how he was with, like, getting animals and stuff, but it sounds like he just stole his food, so.
Yeah, I think he just stole shit. This is a quote from her. I would love to have my navy blue L.L. Bean duffel bag back. It was in new condition. Well, it's not in new condition anymore, lady.
He's probably stuffing dead skunks into it. Do you really want it back?
That was probably his toilet. Let's be honest.
He turned your fucking L.L. Bean duffel bag into a commode, okay? You don't want it back.
And the two twin-sized air mattresses that were inside it, my son would like his canoe back, too.
He probably pooped in that, too.
The son probably doesn't give a shit. He's like, man, remember 12 years ago when somebody stole my canoe? That was fucked up.
Yeah.
Now I'm married and fucking, so, I mean, once you discover sex, canoes aren't really important anymore, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He probably doesn't care.
I'm sure he doesn't care as much as this broad does.
Oh, yeah, this broad fucking is real worked up.
Yeah, but women take shit to their grave. They never let up on that kind of stuff.
State police have said that the statute of limitations means they can only charge Knight with burglaries and thefts that occurred within the past 6 years. I think we were trying to figure that out last episode that we talked
about.
Yeah,
like how much can they charge them with?
Yeah. And there was another article that I have somewhere in this, in a bunch of them, but they said that unless it was already reported, they won't accept any more reports of theft.
Oh, so it's like, oh, by the way, something disappeared a year ago, and it's like, well, you know, I mean, that could have been anyone.
Exactly. Like, I was wondering, how many people are just going to blame shit on him? Or how many people used to blame shit on him? Because he was doing it for 27 years, and he became somewhat of, like, a legend where at one point they were saying, like, people would leave stuff out for him.
Yeah, yeah, people were leaving – he was like Santa Claus. They were leaving him cookies and carrots for his reindeer.
Yeah. Like, I bet, like, kids were probably stealing booze, because word got out that he was stealing beer.
Right.
And kids were stealing booze in the summer from their parents and being like, must have been the fucking hermit, Mom. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, that 30 rack I had, you know, in the cooler or whatever is gone. Oh, pff, North Pond Hermit. Me and my friends sure didn't go and get drunk in the woods last weekend.
Yeah, it's not like I was trying to get Darcy fucked in the... Or, it's not like I was trying to get Darcy Williams drunk to fuck her in the woods.
Her fucking pants off.
Yeah. God, Mom, what do you take me for? I'm just a normal kid. This guy's a fucking hermit. He probably stole the bourbon.
Yeah.
God, what are they drinking, man? I don't even know. Just beer?
Yeah, I'm sure they... I have a feeling they drink probably the same shit that we do. Maybe a little less wine.
Well, I mean, do they have like a drink of choice, you think?
In Maine? I bet it's a lot of beer, a lot of whiskey.
You think so? You think it's like Canadian whiskey?
I bet they definitely get a lot of Canadian whiskey. Okay. A lot of Seagram's going through there.
One year, we came back, and after being in the house several days, went into our spare bedroom. How fucking big is your house that you don't, like, walk by the spare bedroom?
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, that's on that wing of the house.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, they just happened to notice after several days that the mattress was gone. One time, he took a pair of jeans and a new belt my husband had just bought and left on the bed. let's see. He recalled, who is this? Neil Patterson recalled an incident.
Sounds like an idiot.
23 years ago, when his son was 10, in which a burglar took his full dresser drawer supply of candy. He took it all, Patterson said. My son never forgot that. So either this guy is a complete asshole and takes candy from babies or kids. How old was the kid? 10. Okay. Takes candy from
children.
Kids. Children. Or the son fucking ate all the candy in one night and then just was like, a burglar stole it. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. It's that fucking hermit. He stole my candy, Dad. And the dad's like, the dad's so stupid. He's just like, oh, that goddamn fucking hermit stole all the candy.
I love your impression of the dad.
Yeah, I'm a fucking idiot.
This goddamn hermit stole all the fucking candy.
My stupid kid who's apparently smarter than I am, is now heartbroken because his Snickers are gone. And he keeps take five bars. What fucking 10-year-old has an entire dresser drawer full of candy?
I don't know.
Like, what kind of a parent are you that you allow him this to happen?
That one's a little suspect. I'm going to put that on the suspect list.
Unless it was like the day after Halloween, the kid has some weird ass ritual where he comes home, takes his big ass bag of candy, puts it in a drawer, you know, and that's like what he's going to do. Like maybe. But otherwise, I have no idea why the fuck this kid has a giant drawer of candy. Like, teachers have drawers of candy.
Wait, what do you – like, he just has this ritual, and he's like, Ma, it's time to take the underwear out of the drawer. I'm putting the candy in there.
Yeah. He comes home. He just takes everything out of the drawer, throws it on the floor because he's a kid and he's stupid. Not that I wouldn't do the same thing. And he just dumps the whole – you know, pillowcase full of candy into his drawer. I don't know. That's the best thing I can think of. Why else is he going to have a drawer full of candy?
I don't know, because he's an asshole, and his parents think they'll bribe him with candy. So
parents are a couple of fucking degenerates who allow their child to have a drawer full of candy. Under the candy, I bet it's his porno mags.
Maybe. Patterson said he's no longer seeking punishment after reading that Knight apparently suffers from diabetes and poor eyesight and has traded a life of some tranquility for a busy, noisy jail. I think this guy just wanted to get in the paper.
He's not seeking punishment? I mean, come on.
First of all, you can't because it was 23 years ago.
Who gives a shit? No one cares about you and your dumb kid and your dumb kid's candy.
Your kid is 33 at this point.
The kid probably didn't even remember that this happened, if that's true.
Well, he said the kid never forgot.
Oh, yeah.
So he the night
his nerds was stolen. Stupid.
I love this line. This is from Dwight Allison.
Sounds like a reputable source.
Of Rye, New Hampshire. His family bought its camp in December 86. And he goes, every one of them has been broken into multiple times through the years, Allison said. It happened to us routinely until 2000. We rebuilt our camp and put hermit-proof windows and doors in.
It took you that long? It took you 14 years to hermit-proof your house?
Wait, hang on. That's what you have a problem with? Not that he used the phrase hermit-proof? Like, do hermits have fucking special powers that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, I don't.
It's as if the hermits evaporated straight through the walls.
Straight through the walls. No, it's all right. All right, I have two problems. The hermit proof term is really dumb, but I'm also just very disappointed at the fact that it took this guy 14 years to hermit proof the home.
Why would you say hermit proof?
Because I like it. You know what? Fuck it. I don't have a problem with hermit proof.
No, you know what? I have a problem with it. I will accept it, though. All right. Let's talk to Gary Hollins of Boylston, Mass.
Boylston, Mass. Go.
Gary from Massachusetts. Go. He built his family's cabin on Little North Pond in 1987. And he lost 5 L.L. Bean down sleeping bags. What is it these with these people?
With the no, because L.L. Bean, I think, is from Maine.
Is it?
Pretty sure.
Is it like fucking Poland Springs?
Yeah, no, it's what it means to be from Maine. I'm pretty sure L.L. Bean is from Maine. I'll look it up.
Okay, you look that up. I'll focus on other shit. He saw them again a decade later inside a ravine cave. So I guess, and that's it. That's it on the sleeping bags. So my guess is that the hermit got so annoyed with these sleeping bags and they just went to shit. He was like, fuck it. I'm going to throw them down a ravine cave.
Yeah.
And then somehow this guy just found him.
That's weird. He came across his own fucking sleeping bags.
Yeah. Well, again, how do you know?
Maybe, I don't know.
If everybody up there is buying fucking L.L. Bean sleeping bags, and they probably only come in three colors in, you know, 86, 87.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they were somebody else's sleeping bags. They just looked like yours.
Well, that's definitely possible, because everyone, I mean, all that L.L. Bean shit looks the same.
Yeah. It was probably black, navy blue, and, like, dark green.
By the way,
L.L. Bean?
L.L. Bean is located in Freeport, Maine, created by Leonwood Bean, which I guess is the L.L. Bean.
Good job, Columbo. Well done.
He has also been dead since 1967.
All right, good. So he didn't see his sleeping bags thrown down a ravine.
Yeah, he has no knowledge of this.
All right, so apparently this Gary Hollins guy was also in the camp of the hermit, except he calls it a dugout. In the dugout, he had library books, many of them mine. His dugout was pretty neat, actually. And I don't know if he's saying, like, his dugout was pretty neat, like, it was well-maintained.
Or if he was neat, like he thought it was cool.
Yeah, he's like, this dugout is pretty neat, guys.
It's pretty neat. I kind of want one myself.
It's like when you go over to a friend's house and he has like a game room or something. He has a bunch of like video game systems. This is when you were obviously younger. Now you don't really care that much. But like when you were a kid and you were like, oh my God, you have the Nintendo, the Super NES, and Sega Genesis? This is so neat. He's like, he has so many library books. This is really neat, guys.
I'm going to go with that. I think he likes it.
Okay, he had, this is still the quote from him, he had 20-pound propane bottles rigged in series and had a propane light and stove and all kinds of other stuff.
Okay.
Hollins added that he eventually took to bringing a shotgun with him when he was heading to the camp alone.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, not only for protecting yourself against a... Wait, who did that?
Gary Hollins.
The Gary Hollins. Yeah, not only to protect yourself against the hermit, but, you know.
Yeah, because they have special powers. And they can evaporate through windows and shit.
Yeah, and there's also bears.
Well, yeah.
But I'm more worried about the evaporating hermit.
That is the title of this episode, Evaporating
Hermit. The Evaporating Hermit.
Chuck Sullivan said he recognized clothing in photos of Knight's encampment published by the Kennebec Journal. I saw my black sweatpants that he took from me a long, long time ago hanging on the clothesline. Again.
Oh, yeah, because the only person that has black sweatpants in the whole state of Maine.
I swear, a lot of these people are just making this shit up to get in the paper. And they're getting into the Portland Press Herald, so you know they're going to get some big recognition there.
Oh, my God. Talk about your 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. And then he says, I will actually have a feeling like I've just gotten out of the shower, like washing grime off my body. No, you won't. You won't. Fuck you, you won't.
You had sweatpants stolen from you. It's not like the guy killed your fucking wife.
Yeah. It's not like they found, like, your wife in the encampment.
Yeah. Oh, and the North Pond Hermit had been raping her for 10 years. No. He took your sweatpants, he put his gross balls in them. The end of story.
Yeah, whatever. It happens.
I mean, it's not good, but...
But maybe they weren't even your sweatpants. How do you know?
You don't.
Maybe.
Just assume that your sweatpants are gone.
Maybe your wife threw those sweatpants out because you wore them all the time and they were fucking disgusting.
She was like, I hate these things. I don't like these sweatpants. And you were just too ignorant to know. And she threw them out on you.
And then, like a year later, you were like, hey, honey, what happened to my sweatpants? And she was like, oh, I think it must have been the hermit. He must have come in and stolen them.
The North Pond Hermit came into your house where you live, where your children sweatpants. Play with their toys, and he stole sweatpants
That's
from
all-
you. That's
just
it. He only took the sweatpants. He floated through the window. He went into your dresser drawers. And
stole your candy and your sweatpants.
And your sweatpants, and that's it. And now you're scarred for the rest of your life. You fucking idiot.
One year, it just says House. I'm assuming it's not Dr. House.
Dr. Gregory House?
No. Oh, no. It's Lauren House.
Oh.
One year, Lauren House, like many other camp owners, left the thief a note, and it said, sorry, the store has closed for the season. Please leave a list of supplies you need, and we will be sure to stock up for the next season. And then she adds, if anything, it was a little laugh for us.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, fucking Louis C.K. over here.
Yeah, Lauren House. She probably lives in a trailer. You know, you get it. Her name's House. She doesn't even live in a house. You get it?
No, I get it. It's funny. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's a bit comical.
Frank Lungo. Lungo?
How's that spelled?
L-U-O-N-G-O.
Luongo.
Luongo?
Yeah.
He said, all my batteries out of my snowmobiles were gone, and my two brand new propane tanks full. I had just brought the damn things. They were my spares.
He's not from Arkansas.
I just think it's funny that he goes, I just bought the damn things.
Okay, I'll give this guy. This guy seems like he's lost the most monetarily.
So far, yes. Because right now, we've talked about candy, sweatpants,
A duffel bag.
Yeah. A few sleeping bags. Although those LLB ones are expensive.
They're not cheap, but so this guy lost legit like batteries, like car batteries, I'm sure they are. And propane tanks. So I mean this guy could have conceivably lost like $200 or more worth of stuff.
Oh, easily, yeah.
So okay. I'll give it to this guy. Sweatpants guy can go fuck himself. In his sweatpants.
Over the years, he would just take whatever food he wanted. Sleeping bags, books. I thought this was interesting. Cough drops.
Oh, yeah.
That was bizarre because he took them right out of my bedroom. He left stuff, too. I don't know what that means, and there's no explanation to what that means. He left stuff, too. So I don't know if he's saying, if this guy, wait, hang on, who is this guy? Oh, actually, I think it's Debbie Baker is saying this. But he either, like, left stuff that, like stuff he whittled out of wood? I don't know. Maybe whittled, like, a duck or something to say thanks?
Oh, like, he left things for them, or he left the prophylactics that were next to the cough drops?
Yeah, they were like, I was surprised because he left stuff that I would think that was useful behind. Like, he left the blankets and stuff. Like, I don't know what he left stuff to means.
I'm going to assume that's what they meant.
And not that he left them little presents?
He left them, like, yeah, like an origami fucking goose or something, but...
Or he took, like, he would take new sweatpants, but leave old sweatpants.
I'm trading them in. Yeah. Here's the sweatpants I stole from you 10 years ago. They've been not gently used. Just, I wore these things into the fucking ground.
They are really banged up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, I pooped in them. And I didn't wash them because I don't have a washing machine.
I mean, yes, I quote-unquote scrubbed them in the river and beat them against a rock a few times, but I mean,
it's clean by my standards, but I, you know.
Let's put it this way. They still have streak marks from when Bush 1 was in office. And I know when that was because I listened to Rush. He told me about it.
Yeah, yeah. When I first heard that we were invading Iraq, I shit my pants. And that's the proof right there.
This was back when Rush still had his first wife. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Do you think the North Pond Hermit can claim squatter's rights?
No.
No, you're right. But they talked, there was a whole article because I guess that question came up at one point.
Okay.
Because he did spend 27 years on the same piece of land. Oh, the report that the 47-year-old recluse spoke to just one other human being while he lived in the Rome woods most likely would doom any claim he might have to the property, said Portland attorney Elliot Teal, T-E-E-L, Teal.
Yeah.
A squatter is one who settles on another's land without legal title or authority. A party claiming title by adverse possession has the burden of proving by a preponderance of evidence that possession and use of the property was actual, open, visible, notorious, hostile, under a claim of right, continuous, exclusive, and for a duration exceeding the 20-year limitations period.
Uh-huh.
Knight appears to have met the actual continuous exclusive and 20-year requirements to succeed in a possible claim. However, he would have to meet them all. Because he was concealed is the problem. Notorious means generally known and talked of and well or widely known. Hostile means a person is asserting a claim of ownership against all other owners.
Yeah.
So because he was in that part of the land and nobody knew he was there, he wouldn't be able to claim rights on it.
Right.
He occupied about a half acre, it says. So if he tried to, he would be able to claim that portion of it. But he probably wouldn't be able to because he didn't talk to anybody.
Right.
If you haven't already, if it wasn't important enough for you to report at the time, we're not taking those reports now. So you're fucked.
Well, that's not good.
Although they do expect 15 to 20 charges in the case. So he'll be charged with 15 to 20 burglaries or thefts.
Yeah.
Including the pair of jeans and the brown belt he was wearing when he was apprehended. Wait a minute. Maybe that was the belt that the new belt and jeans that the husband left on the... On the bed or whatever. Now, do you think...
Yeah, on the mattress.
Yeah. Now, do you think the jeans and belt fit him perfectly like it would in the movies? Or was it kind of awkward fitting?
You mean like when Reese stole that bum's pants in the beginning of Terminator 1 and they just happen to be the right size?
Yeah, yeah. Because clothes you steal in movies is always exactly right.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't watch A View to Kill with the Bond movies, right?
Well, no, not with you guys.
But you remember when they go into the mines?
Yeah.
And he's with the woman, and she steals, like, the miner uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts it on, and then she ties the belt. And he makes a comment about finding one that fits. That thing is, like, skin tight on her. And the only thing that's like, oh, it's too big, is the fact that she has to tie the belt instead of actually buckle it.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's fitted perfectly to her body.
That is a very classic, not good movie staple.
Yeah. Like, if you're trying to sneak it anywhere and you jump a guard, the guard will always be your size.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He was breaking into a lot of places, stealing a lot of shit. I mean, he may have, you know, he could have been picky, though.
That's true. He could have been going into enough places that he was, like, checking sizes and stuff.
I mean, because it wasn't like when Reese stole the bum's pants, he was naked in the middle of Los Angeles. And he needed pants. Bad. But the Northbound Hermit, I'm sure they were gross, but he probably had pants and a couple pairs. So, you know, we break into this guy's house. Oh, well, let's take a look at the size of these pants. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I'll take those. So, you know, he had a little bit of little leeway there.
He had options.
Yeah.
He had options. His bail was originally $5,000. It was moved to $250,000.
What?
And that's in another article somewhere. But it was because they had a few offers of people from out of state being like, oh, we'll pay his bail.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the marriage proposal, which wasn't really talked about. Like, I guess somebody just called in and gave a marriage proposal.
Yeah.
And that was all that was said about it. But somebody wanted to marry him, which he obviously turned down.
Well, he's clearly a loser.
And
likes to be alone.
Yeah, he's a guy that has no interest in people, so. But I guess they were also worried that he was a flight risk because, you know, 27 years ago he just ran off.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, I guess he could do it again.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he clearly doesn't have a problem with living in shitty conditions.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, okay, but the court-appointed attorney, Walter McKee, got his bail reduced to $25,000.
Uh-huh.
They said he is not interested in being released. He has nowhere to go, which I suppose is true.
I don't think he really cares.
In addition to the bail reduction, Maloney, who I think is probably the district attorney,
Christopher Maloney?
Yes. He left Law & Order SVU and went to...
Start doing this.
He was like, you know, I'm just going to become the district attorney of Maine.
Yeah, and they were like, well, you're Christopher Maloney. You can do what you want.
Yeah. Maloney and McKee agreed to a stipulation which no third party can post Knight's bail on his behalf. Which I thought... Granted, this is all based on movies. It seemed like anybody could just pay your bail. So the guy, the jail guard or whatever, when you're in lockup, would just come up and be like, Greg, you're free to go. And
yeah,
like,
well, someone still paid your bail.
Hey, your bail's been paid. And you would be like, what? And then, you know, I mean, I probably wouldn't show up
hey,
there
Keith,
just because I wouldn't have your money, but... Yeah, I mean, maybe somebody else would be there, you know?
Hey, Keith, you're free to go. Your boyfriend paid your bail.
And I'd be like, boyfriend? And then it'd be you, and it'd be really weird. And
yeah, but not that weird.
No.
You'd be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Let's see. If released, Knight, who is the hermit, he would also be barred from leaving the state, be required to provide an address where he was staying. Yeah, no, I'm going to that random spot over there.
Yeah, okay.
And be responsible for making contact with the McKee or law enforcement authorities on a weekly basis.
I mean, I don't even... How is he even gonna... Nah, whatever. I was going to question how we would even be capable of doing any of that, but...
He's a very resourceful man.
I mean, how is he going to have an address? You know what? He's better off just staying in jail because he's not going to go anywhere.
Well, yeah, it said he's not interested in being released.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously doesn't care.
Let's see. Christopher Maloney says he's certainly not interested in remaining in jail for an extended period of time, but at least for the time being, it does enable him to have some protection from the outside world, which probably freaks the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Because he went away in a period where nobody was famous. Like, nobody beyond Hollywood people were famous.
Yeah, like Hollywood and Pete Rose.
Yeah, like, I mean, you had to do something extraordinary to be famous.
Yeah.
But now, like, this happens and he got arrested, and now he's famous at least in the state of Maine.
Yeah.
He's maybe not internationally or nationally famous, but he's famous in the state of Maine and in the area. We have this culture now where everybody would probably want to talk to him, and it'd be very freaky to him.
Definitely not something he would be used to.
I think last time we were trying to figure out about his family.
Yeah.
It says, according to Maloney, Knight's mother is interested in reconnecting with her son, so the mother's at least still alive. My understanding is that State Trooper Diane Perkins Vance, which we'll talk about later, who was the trooper that arrested him, has spoken briefly with his mother and that she would like to see him.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that arrangements are being made to make that possible. Now, they don't say whether or not she's still in the States or anything like that, but...
Mrs. Hermit?
What's that?
Mrs. Hermit?
The mom? Gonna...
Yeah.
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 I think her name probably wouldn't be Hermit because she seemed to be around people when he was arrested, so...
Yeah, I don't... Whatever.
Let's see. When he was arrested, he was carrying bacon, marshmallows, and $395 in cash.
It's way more cash than I ever have on me.
Yeah, at one time, yeah. Or even in the bank.
Sometimes, yeah.
The items also include keys.
What?
I think there was something somewhere that I saw that he got keys from certain places. Like, he was picking up, like, spare keys as he went along.
Oh, okay.
It was like in Resident Evil, where you're just like, you open a drawer and they're like, you found the key to the conservatory.
And then you're like,
oh, I need that later. Okay, cool.
Oh, sweet. I need something that's in the conservatory to solve some arbitrary dumb puzzle that's going to help me beat the game.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he was thinking.
Yeah, so he's just picking up random keys as he goes.
Yeah.
Pliers, electrical tape, a watch, a baseball hat, coffee, hamburger patties, chicken nuggets, cheese, corn syrup, and potato chips.
Wow. Sounds like he was planning on having a party.
Yeah. All right, so we covered everything else that was in that one. The lawyer for the guy has also created a fund to help repay people who think that they may have been victims of the North Pond Hermit, because his client wanted to set up a restitution account to make things right. Now, I hope there's some kind of a vetting process in this distribution of funds.
Yeah, who's deciding?
Because if the guy's going, look, I had sweatpants stolen a long time ago. By today's standard, they'd probably be worth like 30, 50 bucks. So why don't you give me 75 for, you know, interest and stuff, and we'll call it even. When it might have even been his sweatpants.
Yeah. How much do you think those sweatpants were in the 80s? Like $3.
Probably a little bit more.
Maybe.
But
how much are sweatpants really, you know?
I mean, they probably would have been pretty cheap. You're right. Let's see.
So yeah, I got these at fucking Ames.
I got these at Caldor. They were very expensive. Yeah, Caldor. At the time.
Classic.
They were having a special.
Shitty 80s.
two for $2.
Ugh.
But they were $150 each if you only got one.
Yeah, you had to get two.
So I got the two. I remember it very specifically. I got black. And I got this really weird blue color that my wife hated. I know she threw those out. the black ones. The black one, she says the hermit stole, and there's black sweatpants on there. So I'm thinking those are mine.
Yeah.
Has anybody else claimed black sweatpants? Because if not, those are mine.
My wife would never lie to me.
Yeah. I had some generic white tube socks that I saw on the line, too. Are those possibly mine, too? I'm going to say that, too. You know, throw in another, you know, $10 for the socks.
Come on. $10?
I'm talking about inflation and...
that's true. In today's money.
Interest.
Socks are expensive.
Yeah. People want to pay his bail because, you know.
I just don't understand why you can make a special case here where other people couldn't pay his bail.
Well, maybe we're misled by TV and you have the right to turn that down.
Me? Okay. I guess maybe I never thought about in individual cases they can do that. I always assumed that as long as they got your money, they got the money. They would be like, oh, yeah, okay, so, you know, you can go, you know. Or Reginald Vell Johnson shows up and he says, Ghostbusters, the mayor wants to talk to you, or something like that, you know.
Wait, he says that in this case? So now the
hermit, I don't know.
So now the hermit is a Ghostbuster, too.
He, I don't know, in his mind, he could be anything he wants, you know. He's out of his fucking tree.
I thought you meant, like, you were like, he could be anything he wants, gosh darn it.
Yeah, you know that's definitely my opinion on things.
Oh, this was interesting. So they talked about him keeping himself hidden in the winter, which I think we talked about last time, would bundle up on sleeping bags and stuff because he didn't want to make a fire that would be able to be spotted.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of ridiculous, though, that he's like, oh, yeah, you know, it could be spotted by planes. And I mean, all right, you were a criminal. And, you know, people probably did want you arrested. They weren't searching for you by plane. I mean, you're not you're not Whitey Bulger.
Well, he is squatting on somebody else's land, though. So maybe that's what he was worried about. I don't know. Or maybe he just didn't want people to find him. Maybe he didn't want to see people again. So, but anyway. Yeah.
All right, go on.
Another addition to that is apparently he was purposely gaining weight during the fall to help him in the winter.
He stole some extra fucking Swiss rolls.
Yeah, exactly. He was stealing some extra candy. That's why he stole the kid from the fucking candy. He had to put on the extra weight.
It was perfect timing. Fucking right after Halloween.
Let's see. So apparently in addition to the bacon and stuff, this one says that specifically the candy he had was sweet tarts. I don't know why sweet tarts. I feel like that's kind of an inferior candy, but whatever. To each their own. Folgers coffee.
Yeah.
And Kraft marshmallows. So, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get, like, endorsements.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Folgers. Coffee most used by hermits.
It's fine by me.
It's like that, it's like the Folgers commercial where the son comes home for Christmas college.
He, like, comes home. Was it college? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was college. I think they updated it, and he was in, like, Africa or something, or something. Some weird.
I think there was another one where it was, like, the brother was home from war, and, like, the sister was making him a cup of Folgers or something, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, and then mom and dad came downstairs. So maybe they're setting it up so that there's another version of the commercial where just the hermit comes in.
And it's the mom?
Yeah, and the mom
and she's like, son, I never thought I'd see you again. I made your favorite Folgers. And then they do the little jingle or whatever. I don't know. Is that good to the last drop? Or is that Maxwell House?
I think Maxwell House is good to the last drop.
Yeah, I don't
know. Is it Maxwell House, the commercial that we're thinking of? I thought it was Folgers.
No, I think it's Folgers.
All right, we'll go with it. I don't feel like looking that up, so.
Ugh, nothing better than fucking canned coffee.
Let's see. Knight told police officials he had lived as a hermit for 27 years and did not even know what town he lived in, which seems weird considering he fucking lived around there for quite some time beforehand, but I guess it's possible.
Yeah, could just be a fucking idiot.
They searched him for weapons, and they only found a Leatherman utility knife.
Yeah, I don't really finale count.
Again, another nice product placement.
Yeah.
Like, he could fucking clean up on this. Like, Leatherman utility knife, keeping you a hermit for 27 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so tough that it could last you all this time out in the fucking middle of nowhere.
So let's see. He was talking to the trooper that arrested him, again, Diane Perkins Vance.
A woman cop? Now I've heard of everything.
Yeah, when he went away, women cops didn't exist. Man. But now he's getting arrested by one.
Yeah, he probably saw her walk up and he's like, whoa, wait a second.
What the hell's
going on here?
Whoa. Did somebody hire a stripper for me?
Yeah.
During their conversation, Knight said that the cheesy television shows he had watched in the past, meaning the 80s.
Yeah.
Cautioned him.
Watched a lot of Three's Company.
Cautioned him not to answer questions until he talked to a lawyer. So he's watching fucking Hill Street Blues.
Oh, so much Welcome Back, Kotter.
What was the other one? I don't know. He's could he even watching T.J. Hooker?
Officer?
Officer T.J. Hooker. What was that? First episode was 1982.
He could have caught some of it.
So he's probably watching that, and I think Hill Street Blues. He was watching lots of Hill Street Blues, and they were like, he was like, oh, I shouldn't talk to anybody without a lawyer.
Yeah, he knows.
When the trooper said that he had that option, he told her, I want to end it. I guess he means he just wants to confess and get it over with. Apparently in Maine, they don't really like to fill in gaps that seem obvious.
Yeah.
They were like, he left stuff too, and then no explanation of that. He wanted to end it, which makes it sound, honestly, like he wanted to kill himself.
Yeah, see, I think that when you're in Maine, the writers of these newspapers, if they get good enough, they probably...
Leave Maine.
They probably hop in their car and drive down to Boston and get a job there. Rather than stay in Maine and write for some shitty, whatever Maine newspaper it is.
You're probably right.
Yeah, so they're probably stuck with the crap.
See, the reason, this is all from the woman officer. The reason why he did not want to provide me with his name was because he was ashamed of his actions and did not want his name to appear in the paper. Well, don't worry, it's not going national, dude, so you're good.
Yeah, you're
Knight told me that he had no address and that he mostly lived in the woods. He said that he did not have a vehicle, did not get mail, did not file a tax return, and did not collect any kind of disability.
Not file a tax return? He had no income.
Well, yeah. He was able to tell me that he lived alone. Knight said that the last time he had purchased something was sometime during the 1980s and that he didn't know if his parents were alive or dead. Can you imagine that?
Not knowing if your parents are alive. That's crazy.
Like, you just went away and, like, you have no concept of that.
Yeah. That's weird.
That's crazy. I thought this was interesting. So, we had said that he might not. I'm sorry. Hang on. There's one other thing. Police ran his name through their computer system. They found that his driver's license was valid, but had expired in 1986, which makes me think that it wasn't valid.
Yeah, or maybe it had never been revoked or anything. It just,
It had been valid up until the time that it was.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't wanted for anything or something, I guess.
The female officer also said, I would describe him as eccentric.
You think so?
When he went to school at the Lawrence High School in Fairfield, he planned to become a computer technician. So before we were talking about we weren't sure like how he would handle computers.
Yeah.
It possibly would have gone okay for him since he seemed to have a background. He told the trooper that he had attended a vocational school for computers and even worked in the field for a year. She says that it wasn't that he didn't like it, but realized that computers were constantly changing.
He couldn't deal with that?
I don't know. I guess he just didn't like it. I don't know. Oh, this is fucking awesome. She also wrote in the affidavit, Knight had a backup plan. He showed us an area a distance away from the main campsite where he had backup items stored in plastic totes in case he was caught at the main site. This way, he had enough items to start over.
Huh.
So not only did he have a main campsite that he maintained, he also maintained a secondary area in case he had to leave.
A backup campsite.
Yeah.
What?
Campsite beta. He had that all stocked and ready to go just in case something happened.
I mean, he definitely wasn't stupid, but just really fucking weird.
Yeah. Okay, so they went to his campsite. The inventory list includes, see if you can find the weird item in this list. Or the weird items, I should say. The inventory list includes broad descriptions, medical supplies, jewelry, and wallet, cooking supplies, magazines, adult entertainment, booze, drinks, coolers, tents, camping gear, metal barrels, and a tote found in the cache site. So, what items stood out to you, sir?
The adult material.
The adult entertainment.
Adult entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be all mags, right? You know?
Well, yeah, it didn't say he had, like, a battery-powered TV or anything.
Yeah, so I guess he's got just a bunch of porno mags.
I bet nobody's claiming those that he stole.
Yeah, he stole my fucking Hustler.
He probably stole it all from the guy that had the fucking sweatpants.
Yeah, that guy's a fucking widow anyways.
His fucking strip club sweatpants that he had.
His strip club sweatpants?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So he had that with the adult magazines. The guy stole them all, and he's only complaining about the fucking sweatpants.
Okay, what else did he have there?
The only other thing that really struck me as strange was that he decided to have jewelry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... Because, see, the thing is, it seems like he stole things that he needed. And so I'm not really sure if he had that before or if he stole it. But if he stole it, why would he bother?
Hang on, let me jump to this other article here. This one talks about his relationship that he's apparently been developing with the trooper that arrested him. I guess she's one of the only people that he feels comfortable talking to.
All right.
And it says, let me skip ahead here. Knight always had a backup plan in case conditions got too dangerous to live outdoors alone. Trooper Vance says Knight had a stash of money on him that he could use if worse came to worse. He never needed it, though. So maybe he was taking the jewelry, small pieces, to be able to barter with.
Yeah.
Just as a backup. Maybe because we use money less now than we did before.
Yeah. I mean, cash, you know, actual cash for sure.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, people probably don't keep a lot of cash around, whereas before they probably did, and how he was able to get the whatever it was, like close to $400. So now he probably started taking like necklaces and stuff to be able to barter with that because people were leaving that around instead of money.
Hmm.
I mean, that's just a guess, but that would make sense to me.
Yeah. No, that's not a bad guess.
So in case he needed to stay in a shitty motel, he could, you know, pawn something or give him something. He took no medications and had never been to a doctor. I asked him if he had ever been sick, and he told me that required human contact.
Okay, all right. I'm not so sure, but...
I would say for the most part he's fairly right about that.
Well, no, there's definitely some truth to that.
I mean, I feel like breaking in and stuff, he could potentially get sick, but if he was careful, maybe not.
Yeah.
Because he's still coming in contact with, like, surfaces and stuff that people have touched. Let's see. So the female officer says she's the lead and only investigator on this case. And says she's only state trooper, it says. And says it's probably the biggest case she will ever have. That's probably true.
Yeah, I'm assuming. I mean, a lot would have to happen in Maine for that to change.
She visits him on and off duty to update him on the investigation.
It's weird.
She is pleased to see how well Knight is adjusting to living with others in jail after 27 years of solitude. If this was a Lifetime movie, they would totally get together at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, they would definitely, he'd go to jail, but some conjugal visits maybe.
Yeah, when they eventually make a movie out of this, like, they're getting together.
Yeah, sounds great. I can't wait for that.
Van says Knight told her his dream would be to move past his ordeal and live back in the woods. This time, he would do it right. He would buy some property and live an honest life alone. So he still wants to live by himself.
Huh.
She also says he told me that he read books as a child and liked reading about hermits.
Oh yeah, you know those hermit books.
Yeah, I don't remember any hermit books. Maybe there's a series in Maine called Harry the Hermit that was real popular.
Yeah.
Back Harry in 86.
Awesome.
I mean, I would probably enjoy. You know what? I always enjoyed reading about, and I still do to a certain extent. I always enjoy reading about or seeing survivalist stories where they have to invent ways of doing things. I always find that very interesting.
Yeah. Unless it's that goddamn Shackleton, because that shit sucked.
The what?
Shackleton.
What's Shackleton?
The guy that went to the South Pole. The explorer there.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, he had this book. He went to the South Pole. It sucked. It was really boring. Everyone just got diarrhea all the time. It wasn't good.
You tell a really good story.
I don't know. I honestly hated the book so much. I stopped. I just stopped reading it.
I mean, was it based on real events?
Oh yeah. It's okay. A real story.
Okay.
He's just a cock.
Okay.
look it up. What do you want me to do all the research for you, Keith?
You fucking look it up. I pulled all this stuff up on the fucking North Pond Hermit.
It's true.
Anyway, so yeah, he wants to live fucking alone.
You know, in some ways, I don't blame him.
Read about Harry the Hermit.
Yep.
He said nothing traumatic had occurred in his life to lead him to his lifestyle. He had told me that he could not come up with a definitive answer why he chose to live this way. He just wanted to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing that we heard was, Chernobyl was the last event that he remembered, right?
Yeah, he said he traced it back to Chernobyl. So, like, either that day or sometime around that day, he decided to leave. Which makes me think that, like, in another, you know, so many years, we'll hear about somebody that left on, like, 9/11 and just decided to, like, go off and live in the woods.
Just like, I'm done with people. Today was a bad day, and I don't want to be around people anymore.
Yeah. I guess he probably doesn't really think it had much to do with it, but, I mean, it must have. It must have had something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he doesn't realize how much it had to do with it, but, yeah. I don't know. Now, he's obviously crazy, so maybe that's part of the reason he can't tell.
But he is also a hero. So much so that a song has been written about him.
Are you going to play the song?
I'll play you part of the song. I'm going to put the whole thing up on our Facebook page when this goes out.
Awesome.
Facebook.com/butcherwrong. Because it was done. Hang on. Let me do a quick search here. North Pond Hermit Song. Because I want to give credit where credit's due.
Obviously.
Danley Keach and Barefoot Dan Simmons.
Oh, man. One of my favorite bands.
It looks like it was written by Stanley Keach.
He's great, too.
So I'll play a little clip of it for you. Hopefully this will work.
Awesome.
Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah, I can hear.
27 years ago, he went into the woods. He didn't really have a plan. Guess he did it because he could. He was only 19, didn't know he'd stay that long. He came to think of the woods of Maine, a place that he belonged. You and I will never know what the North Pond Hermit knows. What it's like to sleep outside when it's 25 below. And you feel it from your forehead right down to your aching toes. We don't know what the North Pond Hermit knows. No, we don't know what the North Pond Hermit knows.
All right, so that's like 50 seconds of the song.
I assume the rest is pretty much the same.
It's pretty similar. It's not a bad song, though, actually.
No, I mean, it sounds structurally all right.
I mean, if you hate folk music, you're not going to like it.
Yeah, I guess.
Basically, it all has to do with, if you can hear it, we don't know. We'll never know what the North Pond Hermit knows. But I like the part where he says, I know why he did it. I guess because he could.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess that's why he did it.
Because he could. Who can blame him?
Yeah. He had the tools. He had the talent.
It's Miller time.
All of which is possible, I guess. He had the tools. He had the Leatherman.
Yep.
He had the talent in stealing. And he stole beer, which might have been Miller. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely cheap. Get that Miller High Life.
Yeah. Even Miller Lite. We'll count that. But I feel like up there they would drink a lot of PBR.
Maybe. Yeah.
I feel like it would just be so much PBR up there.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't spent much time in Maine. Just, you know, a little bit here and there. Little visits. Quick visits. Never long.
Not 27 years?
No. Definitely not that long.
I guess that's about it.
That's the North Pond Hermit. That fucking maniac.
Yeah. I mean, I have a... I don't know if I want to admit this, but I do have a...
North Pond Hermit t-shirt?
No, a Google News alert for him, though.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'm fascinated by this man.
What? I mean, it's... Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if I'd say I'm fascinated, but I'll... it's definitely interesting.
Well, I guess I'm... I was mostly interested because I was trying to figure out why he did this. But
you want to know the psychology behind it.
Well, yeah, I kind of want to know, like, what made him do this. Like, what was his thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if he had, like, cool things set up to try to do certain things.
Yeah.
Like, was he just stealing bottled water, or did he have some kind of a rain catcher?
He was at the Poland Spring.
Yeah. Like, did he have something set up to catch drinking water? Like, how did he survive? Because I think it's impressive that he survived 27 years.
Yeah. But at the same time, he kind of cheated.
Well, no, that's true. I mean, that's true. But I feel like there are certain things that aren't mentioned in there that I feel like... Like, how did he not go insane? Or is he insane?
Well, I mean, he might have already been insane.
They describe him as being eccentric, and he's going to take a medical a mental examination.
Right.
But yeah, like, is he insane? Was he already insane? Like, did he have to create certain things to survive? Like,
I mean, I'm sure he showed a lot of ingenuity and stuff to survive that long, regardless of whether or not he was stealing shit. At the same time, you know, he was cheating. And as far as the crazy part goes, I mean, like, I understand you have, like, moments of insanity. And, like, he might have been like, oh, you know, I'm just so sick of everything. I'm just going to fucking disappear. And you go out there, you get out in the woods, and, you know, he's like, I'm just going to make this my little home. I mean, if after, like, a couple days, you're not like, all right, I gotta go back. You must be a little crazy.
Yeah.
He's gotta be a little bit nuts.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just got used to it. Or maybe listening to Rush in the news, he was just like, well, I don't, fuck it, I don't wanna go back. Or yeah, he felt like he still had a connection to the outside world. I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, like, this is what fascinates me about it and why I'm like, I wanna know more about what's going on.
Yeah.
So I do have my Google News alert set up. I also have one for time travel.
Oh,
for us to talk about. And I got a story saved for that we can talk about at some point about time travel. And I also have one on Jesse Ventura, which doesn't pop up too much anymore though.
Yeah.
I have a few other news alerts for things that we tend to talk about. Yeah, I mean, if I find out more, I'll bring it back. But there were several developments and. More of the reasoning why, so I thought I'd bring that to the table.
Yeah.
So to speak. All right. Well, let's wrap it up then.
All right. Well, I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodella.
This has been But You're Wrong. Make sure you check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. Make sure you check us out on the Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. And check out YouTube at youtube.com/ButYou'reWrong.
BYW Podcast.
Fuck! Every time. Make sure you check out Keith on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace with Work in Progress and Not My Problem. And make sure you listen to our episodes every Wednesday, every Saturday. And if you want to hit that subscribe button, you know, we'd appreciate it. You know, a review might be good too.
Mm-hmm.
How many stars, Keith?
5 would be fantastic.
Yeah, five stars. 5 stars is good.
5 stars. I mean, 4 would be good too. Anything less than 4, you don't have to review if you don't want to.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, you just forget it. Forget I even mentioned it.
Don't worry about it.
Remember, everyone, no regrets, and when returning sweatpants, get the shit stains out.
I was going to say something about the sweatpants, too. I was going to say, remember, no regrets, and if a hermit steals your sweatpants, you don't want them back.